The reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 7, beginning at verse 14. And he, that's Jesus, called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean." And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Helen, for that reading. Welcome to all of you who are watching this online. It's a pity we have to meet together like this. Let's pray that we'll soon be able to meet together in person. We're here today, of course, to remember. We do this every year, when we remember all those who died in war, and we remember especially those who died for us, those who died in our place, those of us who now live in this united kingdom. And it's important that we do this, for if a nation or a people loses their collective memory, they become dismembered. But we are here to remember, to remember, to pull our history together, to pull our past together, and so to collect ourselves. And of course, our history is a long history. It's a history of men and women who died to make this country the nation that we have become. And so we cast our minds back to the recent wars in Afghanistan, then to the Second World War, the First World War, and so on, until our history disappears in the mists of time. And so it was, as I was growing up, I used to read avidly and with great excitement about our glorious history. I used to read about our great victories at Agincourt in 1415, the Armada, 1588, Trafalgar, 1805, Waterloo, 1815, the Battle of Britain, 1940. And I was proud. I was proud of the way in which we stood up to tyranny and fascism. Proud of the way that we as a nation spoke up for the defenseless and for the weak and the dispossessed. Proud of the way we as a nation fought for free speech, which meant that we are free not just to speak, but also to not speak. That no one should be compelled to say anything that they did not believe in their hearts. And I was grateful for the rule of law, the trial by jury, I'm proud of the way so many people died for these freedoms, because I felt that in some way, in some strange way, in some almost indefinable way, I was part of them. I was involved with them. I was bound to them. John Donne said that we're all as individuals involved in mankind. And I felt involved. I felt included. And so remembering was a joy. It was good, but this year has been a difficult year. Not just because of the pandemic, It's also been a difficult year because serious and necessary questions began to be asked with an urgency and with a passion about our role in the empire. And it was with some dismay that this year that we have been forced as a country and as a nation to face some less than glorious moments in our history. That we were heavily involved in the slave trade, for example. And yes, I'm grateful that William Wilberforce fought tirelessly to make slave trading illegal. Nevertheless, I am ashamed that we ever did what we did. That we did ruthlessly exploit other nations, and that all the while we were engaging in this project, we were blind to our own sin and our own folly. We were blind to the fact that all men and all women and all children are made in the image and likeness of God, and as representatives of God Himself, each person should be treated with respect. But back in the day, and with the help of so-called science, we forgot this truth. We started to believe that some people, some humans, were less than human. And just as I felt included in the glory of our history, so now I felt implicated in our shame. And so this year's statues were torn down. Why did that happen? Well, I guess it happened because we felt in some way, in some undefinable way, we all felt unclean. And so we tried to cancel these people, to whitewash them out of our history. And so perhaps in a way to pretend that we did not do what we in fact did. And so what many people found, almost to their surprise, was the deep need of cleansing, to whitewash our history, which is, of course, impossible to do. And that is why in our reading from Mark, Jesus talks about being unclean, and I love what he says. Did you pick up the force of what he said? It is simply revolutionary. No one in the whole history of the world ever said like this ever before. For in this passage, Jesus having a discussion with the intellectual elites who have come down from Jerusalem to question him, to find out what he was up to. And in their view of the world, it went without saying that certain foods, places, and people were unclean. In other words, what made you unclean was something that was external to you. It wasn't internal. It wasn't from within. And so back in the day, if you ate pork, you were deemed to be unclean. If you went to certain places, you were deemed to be unclean. And it went without saying that certain groups of people were unclean. So you had unclean food, unclean places, and unclean people. Even priests could be unclean if they touched dead bodies. Women with certain diseases were certainly unclean. And so it went on and on. And the Romans back in the day were just as bad. As far as the Romans were concerned, all those who were not Roman were deemed to be barbarians, ignorant, uncultivated. And if you think that we have a problem with identity politics, you can imagine what it was like back in the day. For back in the day, there were hundreds of different groups and places and foods that could render you impure. But here comes Jesus and he says, nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. Now, I can imagine that when Jesus said those words, all those who heard him were immediately calling for the smelling salts. For what Jesus is saying is, look, there are no special categories of people, places of food that make you unclean. Gentiles as Gentiles are not unclean. Barbarians as barbarians are not unclean. The poor as the poor are not unclean. The rich as the rich are not unclean. Deplorables are not unclean. Slaves are not unclean. Children are not unclean. Women are not unclean. No place is unclean. Rome is not unclean. Caesarea Philippi is not unclean. The land of the Gerasenes is not unclean. No food is unclean. Pork is not unclean. Birds are not unclean. And why is this the case? Because nothing outside of a man can make him unclean. Nothing outside. But then Jesus says, what does make a person unclean? Well, what makes a person unclean is what comes out from within him, from his innermost being. And of course, in saying this, Jesus dissolves all the distinctions that we place on people. He dissolves the distinctions between men and women, Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, for now we are all alike. Why? Because Jesus said, for what comes out of our man are his thoughts, his greed, his lust, his folly. Don't you see that these come from within our hearts? And then from within our hearts they find expression in the external world, in sexual immorality, theft, murder, and the like. And so Jesus is saying, look, you're all trying to make yourself clean, and you think that you can do that by working from the outside in, by virtue signaling, by tearing down statues, by saying, I thank you, God, that I'm not like those other people. I thank you, God, that I don't live in those places. But Jesus is saying that won't do. And the reason it won't do is because I can't make myself clean from the inside. I can't take a scrubbing brush to my soul. We all still have the thoughts of our hearts. The prayer book tells us that we have followed too much the devices and desires of our hearts. The devices, the plans, the ploys, the schemes that bubble up constantly from within. And how do you make those things unclean? How do you separate yourself from your own heart? How can a man separate himself from himself? It's impossible. I must finish. Today is Remembrance Sunday. It's a time when we should be sober. We should be humble. We should be teachable. We remember that we live in a world in which man's inner folly, the inner folly of us all, can flare up into violence. Now, violence, it needs to be said, sometimes has to be dealt with on the field of battle. And so it is that we should be overawed by the sacrifice that so many people made on our behalf. But let us also remember on this Remembrance Sunday that Jesus took into himself, into his heart, into his soul, all the devices and desires and thoughts and folly and lust and schemes of all our hearts, and submitted himself to the judgment and wrath of God and died in our place so we could go free. He was cancelled. He was torn down. The elites in his day tried to whitewash him out of history, and so he died. And that is why on the tombs of fallen soldiers, a cross is erected. Have you noticed that? It's etched in granite and in stone to act as a reminder to us, the living, that Jesus Christ came to make us clean. But they could not cancel him, for on the third day he rose again from the dead, which means that if you and I come to him in prayer and from the depths of our heart, from our innermost being in trust and faith, and we remember him, we shall all be cleansed. And then we can rejoice. And then we can thank God for all that he has done for us over our long history. And so be grateful to him that he himself died to clean the unclean. Amen.